This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Across Australia, on the Community Radio Network, to over 70 community radio stations around the nation. This is Word for Word, coming to you from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Word for Word. Dean Beck and Bianca Johnston are with you today. Now, when it comes to poetry, I know what a nursery rhyme is, and the extent of my poetic license extends about as far as Pam Ayres. I think that's probably about it. Oh. Yeah, I know, it's extensive. So, when I'm presented with a poet laureate in the studio, I just want to know more. But I don't know where to start, to be honest. Oh, it is enough. My great pleasure to welcome Telia Neville to the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
What gravitated you towards poetry? Why poetry?
So Poet Laureate Telia Neville is a character, mm-hmm. Which I developed because my friends were having a fundraiser, and when you do something funny at a fundraiser, it raises more money than if you do something that's sad.
Only if you're funny.
Only if you're funny. So I wrote a poem called Blue Light Disco, Green Light Romance, and Poet Laureate Telia Neville was born.
Ba-da-ba-da! And how many millions have you raised since?
That night, I actually raised 400 or 500, but mainly because I auctioned the girls off one at a time for slow dances.
Oh, no, I think that's best. Would it be too much to ask if we could hear that particular piece, or have you got something special for us?
I haven't done Blue Light Disco, Green Light Romance for a very long time. Do you have Careless Whisper by any chance?
Not at my fingertips.
Mm. It works best with Careless Whisper, tinkling lightly in the background.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to do it.
I do have an erotic fan fiction that I can share with you.
Oh, yes, that sounds lovely.
Did you say erotic fan section?
I didn't bring it with me. Oh, no, erotic fan fiction. I wrote a slash fiction about the West Wing called The Best Ring in the West Wing. But I don't have it with me. Oh, my God.
We're doing well so
far. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, well.
give me a second and I'll drag something out of my memory.
Are you a natural-born performer? Where has this emerged from, this desire to make an idiot of yourself in front of thousands of people?
Well, you find it very early. It emerges extremely early. For me, I think it emerged about 5.
Right,
And I sought doggedly out each possible opportunity I could get for making an idiot of myself in front of other people.
But such a nice girl like you, what's that about?
Is it fun?
It's extraordinary, the high that you get on stage when you're feeling it and you can feel the audience feeding back to you is just amazing. It's like nothing
ever. It's described as being addictive, is it?
It's extremely addictive.
Right, okay.
To the point where you kind of come off stage after a good show, and if somebody went, you know, I've got a 5-minute spot going at this tiny little pub 45 minutes across town, do you want it? You go, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Load me up on a skateboard and I'm there.
I have known a number of reasonably talented comedians that are all neurotic in their private lives. They are nothing like their public persona, and highly
quixotic.
The word? They're kind of very sensitive.
Mm.
Mm. Highly strung, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. Even the gentle ones that are like stoners are highly strung, but in a different way. Do you know what I mean? That's just comedians. Why is that, do you think?
Because you've got to have a little dirt in the clam to make a pearl, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's some good art grows well. Yeah, this is a sweeping generalisation, but hey, it's Sunday.
We love them.
Sure.
I think
Bianca's life is a sweeping generalisation.
Oh, burn.
You know
is
I love
nice
you.
As possible?
No, sure.
I'm going to start writing about that.
It's very hard to create if you're happy.
Tell me what that's about. Because it's got to come from a dark space.
If you are deeply content, if there's nothing that bugs you or that you want to change, nothing that you don't understand, nothing that you're desperately yearning to explore, it's very hard to make, or at least that's my sweeping.
Well, the Dalai Lama finds it a bitch to write anything that he writes.
I looked into Buddhism once and it said you've got to get rid of your ego. And I thought, how does an actor get rid of their ego and still remain an actor?
What have I got left?
Yeah. Once you take away the ego, what's left?
That's a very good point.
So are you content at the moment?
No. Never.
So you're being creative. Do you get the impulse to write, or how does it work for you? What's the creative process?
Or is that just a rash?
Sometimes it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I write a lot, mostly fragments. But you see something and it makes you go, and you grab the nearest writing implement.
Do those little fragments actually
coalesce?
Come together at some stage, sometimes months and months down the track?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's about actually doing it there and then, so that it becomes real, it is on paper, and you can refer to it and you can weave it through if you
Tom Waits has a theory that you've got to talk to your muse, and that if it's intruding on you at a time where you can't pay attention to it, like when you're, say, driving, you talk to it and you ask it to come back later when you're ready for
it. In a conscious way.
In a conscious way. So far that has not worked for me, but my memory is atrocious. So I find it's best to just write it down, put it in a pile, and sooner or later you'll realize it's tripe or it's gold.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Sure.
Do you get like just the ideas, or do you actually get like I suppose a song, or like, or do you get elements? I don't know. Do you get elements, or do you go, I could twist this tune, or how does it work for you?
Sometimes you get a picture. Sometimes you get a sentence. Sometimes you see a TV show, and that sparks off a whole sort of range of dominoes.
Are there rhythms that you work to?
Yes, I'm very rhythm oriented.
Right, okay.
Which helps with the poetry thing.
Of course.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, sure.
But it also means that I love music and I can't write with music in the background because it's got its rhythm. I can't. Yeah.
And part of writing the comedy is actually leading people on through that rhythm and then delivering the punchline on the right beat, I guess, and that all comes together in a synergistic laugh.
Explosion of joy.
Yeah. But if you get that timing out, it's a disaster. Tell me about your worst experience on stage.
I was performing at the Falls Festival. It was in Marion Bay, which is extremely beautiful, but a little bit like the Wild Wild West as far as the earlier Falls Festivals go. There was little to no security, and we were kind of fending people off and trying to hold onto any stuff that could be stolen at the same time.
Sounds wonderful so far.
I was doing an act in a private viewing tent called The Silhouetted Lady, so I was behind a screen and couldn't see the people in the tent, which was dangerous. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was New Year's Eve, so I suppose New Year's Day at that time.
You're still alive to tell
this
story.
I'm still alive.
It's extraordinary.
But at one point, I did have to duck out the back of the tent, and I grabbed hold of the nearest guy I could find and went, please, please, please stand at the front of my tent.
Are you telling me that at that moment in time, roughly 3 a.m., you started in silhouette.
Poetry.
Poetry.
No, the silhouetted lady did horror stories. So I was telling horror stories, silhouetted, running blind, as it were, against 19-year-old people who'd had a lot of various chemicals
some mushrooms or something as well, because I'm surprised you got out of the place alive.
I am a little bit too, I have to say.
What was the horror tale, or was it something that you made up, or had it been written?
I was looking through urban legends, and it was about a woman who had axe murdered her entire family.
Nice.
You know, a little bit of light storytelling.
For 3 a.m. New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Sounds beautiful.
La la.
Right. So we've got an idea of just what sort of edge you do have. Like I said earlier, such a nice girl. What happened? What happened?
It's so much funnier if it comes out of somebody who looks
it
like
is.
Me.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
Because people just don't, yeah.
You're right.
The sweeter you look, I used to do a metal number called The Darkness Inside, and it works best when I'm in this pink chiffon dress with high heels and pearls on, because it gives that just extra little push.
Totally. Yeah, it's like so far removed what is going on here. It's the Stepford Wives gone bad.
Very bad.
So are you only working on your show at the moment, or like are you or are you creating as well, writing as well?
I just finished a BA Fine Art Photography, so we opened our exhibition on Wednesday, which was really great. And straight after Live on Air with Poet Laureate Telia Neville, I'm in a Sharehouse Shakespeare production. We're doing Romeo and Juliet out the front of one of my friend's terrace houses, and I will be playing the nurse, although they keep on assuring me it's the nursing student, because they... Yeah, the nurse is traditionally played by somebody who's like in their 60s. And yes. Anyway, the nursing student.
Yes. I wouldn't look too deeply into that. We're speaking to Telia Neville. She's a poet laureate, Telia Neville, known there as. Interesting young lady, she is. We'll be back with more after this. You're with Dean Beck and Bianca Johnson across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Word for Word, delve into the extraordinary lives of everyday people.
Word for Word, challenging, inspiring, engaging and entertaining. Broadcast live on Joy 94.9, Sundays from 11 a.m. and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Across Australia on the Community Radio Network, you're with Dean Beck and Bianca Johnston. This is Word for Word. We're speaking with Poet Laureate Extraordinaire Telia Neville. She is an interesting creature. Now, we have another two double passes still to give away for Beautiful Passing. 8 o'clock, Saturday 10th of December. It's on at the Melbourne Recital Centre, featuring British violinist Anthony Marwood, American composer-guitarist Stephen McKay in an Australian premiere of his Beautiful Passing Concerto. Thanks to the Australian National Academy of Music. If you're a Joy member, you could get one of two double passes by phoning the front desk right now, 1300 569 949. Speak to Glenn and he'll fix you up, 1300 569 949.
And Telia, I want to know, we were having this little chat before you came in about what a poet laureate is. I've got no idea.
Very good poet.
It's the premier poet. Particular countries have poet laureates. So America has a poet laureate for a particular period of time, and then it rolls to somebody else. Usually it's no one too controversial, so Ginsberg never became the poet laureate.
I think there's a black woman friend of Oprah's that has the grey hair that was commissioned the US poet laureate. What is her name? I can't remember. A listener will be able to let us know. 0427 569 949.
So, Telia, you can't give yourself the title, is that right?
Technically, no. But Australia doesn't have a poet laureate, so I decided to just...
Do we not?
Yeah, take
so,
it.
But we do. We do now. We do now.
Indeed.
Dean can't steal it off you, for example, is that right?
No.
I can barely do Mary Had a Little Lamb, love. It's not going to work. But I can appreciate some of the very clever prose of someone, say, like Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde was a wonderful poet. He was amazing.
Yeah, I get that.
He was lyrical.
Indeed. And a raconteur and a, you know.
Oh, all of the great poets were.
And satirical.
Slightly
and
freaky.
Yeah.
Dorothy Porter was quite the mean lady, but her poetry is hilarious. Because it's fun watching somebody eviscerate something they hate.
It's very dark in spots, though.
Yeah. That's what makes it fun. Yeah.
You are a funny, funny woman. Now, I would love to hear a piece of yours. Can you share something with us?
I can. Would you like me to do it in the voice?
Please, I would love that.
So this is not from my new show. This is a piece that I've been doing for a while now. It's called "You Set Off the Car Alarm in My Heart, Now I Can't Shut the Fucking Thing Off." You bumped my chassis, ring the alarm. It was a glancing blow, the impact short but not sweet, the resulting noise unending and unstoppable. You collided with my rear end and my emotional shock senses set off a siren wail, an unceasing single note exclamation that pierced the proximity between us with a call for your attention. Yet you disappeared into the night, driving my emotions away from my control. No relief for my grief. The theft of my heart makes a lot of noise, but attracts no attention. My inner self has been broken into, and my hijacked brain cries out across the emptiness of my vacated romantic car park. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. What a racket! That useless alarm cost me a packet. I dearly hope you stack it. P.S. Could you please send back my jacket? Also my import Skid Row cassette. 'Cause I just cannot hack it much longer. I just wish my batteries would die like my self-respect so I could get some peace and quiet. Thank you.
I'm feeling a little bit Raymond J. Bartholomew. I hope that's not an insult.
No. Sometimes I like to get my beat on, and sometimes, like in the new show, there's a set of grammar grindcore mini death metal poems called Apostrophe Apocalypse and Abbreviation Armageddon, respectively. I get my blues on. Sometimes I like to do haikus. I wrote a haiku for my first show.
Now tell us about the much maligned haiku.
Oh, haikus are awesome.
Why?
Because it's kind of...
They make no sense?
No, it's the ultimate in distillation, because you kind of, you have this long rambling thing that you want to get across. Like I wrote one called Love is a Head Cold in the Winter of My Existence. And you could, you know, should you choose, you could spin that out for, you know, half an hour of rambling. But red, the red of my blood spilled on the blah. But in a haiku, you've got five syllables and then seven syllables and then five syllables. And it just kind of goes... shing, like it's this perfect note. It's like separating the dross from the gold.
It's minimalism at its finest in poetry.
It is
equally as powerful.
And when it comes off, it's a little bit more powerful, because it's like ba da ba da 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 ba da da da, and then people go pause. Oh,
sometimes it can hit you in the middle of the forehead and almost knock you rotten, but you don't even know it till about 3 minutes later.
Till you're lying on the floor.
These wordsmiths, I reckon they're stuffing with your head. No, I do. And to what end? I don't know. Sanity? Highly overrated. Where have you performed your little prose? Where do you like performing? Do you like those more intimate places or bigger?
I like very small rooms. I like to be able to see the faces of the people that I'm performing to.
I want to see them squirm and react.
I want to see them. It's more fun, because it becomes more of a conversation and less of a diatribe. So I've performed at places like, we did the Forum for the Melbourne Festival. They had a night called Notes from the Underground, which brought together rappers, which are poets. They're just poets with a beat and usually a criminal history. poets and spoken word and storytellers. And that was a huge but beautiful room. And then you do somewhere like the Lithuanian Club for the Melbourne Fringe, and it's sort of you and 30 other people packed into this very concentrated space.
Or indeed the very famous Butterfly Club, which
yes.
is
I'm very excited about that.
Is it your first
time
there?
So beautiful, yeah. I've seen shows there, but I've never...
A great space, but I think a great place for you in so many ways.
It's
like, they built it for you or something. It's weird. Bianca?
I'm gobsmacked. I don't even know. I can't even talk. I'm just fascinated. I'm pretty much like Dean. I haven't really got into poetry. I don't really know much about it. I did see Howl and went, oh, there's so much I don't understand. And then, but having you perform today is just a really nice taste. I'm hoping, is it a taste of what you're going to be doing at the Butterfly Club?
Yeah. The ones for this show, most of them are built around song structures.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably an easier way to slide into listening to somebody talk in that way for a while. But there are so many amazing, like Jay-Z writes the most incredible lyrics, and they're really tight and they're really sort of intellectually condensed. And 99 problems, and I can't say that on the word, ain't one. Is this amazingly, it's a chunky peanut butter of a rap song. And that's what poetry is.
I think Eminem is pretty
Eminem is
extraordinary.
An incredible lyricist.
Yeah, absolutely.
The stuff he comes out with, it's if you actually wrote all of that down, that's 3 or 4 pages of material that disappears in 2.5 minutes.
And he's no dummy.
Is there something that happens to you if you don't perform or you don't? Like, do you go wacky if you don't get out there and do stuff? Or
I just get a bit sad.
She doesn't have any pets. You know why, don't you? joking.
Dean.
Much maligned.
Don't let those pearls fool you at all. We're speaking with Tilia Neville. She is a comedian, a poet laureate, no less. And she's mucking with her heads. You're with Dean Beck and Bianca Johnson across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Word for Word, delve into the extraordinary lives of everyday people.
Word for Word, challenging, inspiring, engaging and entertaining. Broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
You are with Dean Beck and Bianca Johnston across Australia on the Community Radio Network. This is Word for Word. Our special guest is Tilia Neville, poet. Pardon?
I said howdy.
Howdy, honey. Now, have you got another piece of prose for us? Is it hard to remember them all?
Because I've been focusing on the new show, it's hard to remember sort of older ones.
Ah, right.
But depending on how your microphones stand up, I could do The Darkness Inside for you if you'd like.
I think that's a yes, but you might just want to move back about 2 feet if need be.
Sure.
Okay. And I'll keep myself at the ready over here. After you.
When I was a little girl, pure and pale as mother pearl, crowned on top with golden curl, little skirts that swish and swirl, then the world was full of light. Each kindness sparkled big and bright. I only had rose-coloured sight. My heart rose up like a buoyant kite. But that couldn't last forever. When the good parts of me and the bad world collide, I eat the apple and see the darkness inside! Since then I've grown a little bigger. In the playground, taunt and snigger. Had my taste of unseen stigma. Well, every weapon has a trigger. The guy yesterday who pushed in the queue. My last best friend whose virtues were too few. The stupid signs they put everywhere just so we don't sue. When you had the nerve to say, it's me, it's not you. Sometimes I have trouble controlling the darkness inside! Tell me, are you afraid of the dark? Do you stumble around for a match that will spark? When Eve ate away our purity, was it just a lark? When my rose-coloured visions were ripped away, did reality have to be so stark? Sometimes I'm not sure I want to control the darkness inside! People, I believe, are naturally good. They behave for the most part like my mother says they should. And for the rest of them, I wouldn't curb myself, even if I could. I've seen under the reaper's hood. So while you're feeling safe and sound, keep in mind that what goes around comes around. It's nice to be nice is the doctrine I've found, but if you screw with me, I'll put you in the ground.
Say hello!
To the darkness inside.
Simply extraordinary. And you can see why she's so popular at bar mitzvahs and...
christenings.
Christenings, yeah.
Have you even thought of working as a marriage celebrant?
You'd be an awesome marriage.
Maybe Disney.
Say I do! Say it!
Maybe Jason.
Hockey mask optional.
Hockey mask optional. Celia, where do you tour around the festival circuit? Do you, you know, you're doing Edinburgh and all that sort of stuff?
I have, as yet, have not toured out of the country, no. But I've done, you know, Launceston and other hives of activity such as that.
What would you like to do with your performing career?
I would like to, I think I'd like to tour like a band through Europe and England. I think that would be lovely, exciting.
And people waiting on you hand and foot, and
And an entirely white room out the back filled only with white couches with white cushions and bowls full of M&Ms, but only the green ones.
You and J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It could happen. Maybe.
Slightest bit of talent and it all goes to the head.
Is that the best fantasy you've got? I mean, come on.
No. Best fantasy is to be on the same bill as, like, the Dead Kennedys and the Strokes.
Ooh,
and
okay. And,
oh.
Comically, who do you admire?
Bill Hicks. I love Bill Hicks. He's incredibly inspirational, and this amazing mix of a really, really big heart and absolutely no hesitation in slapping people down who he doesn't like. I'm also a big fan of Dimitri Martin and Daniel Kitson. I think they're really, really clever. There's an English comic called Simon Munnery who's got very odd turns of phrase, and he's delightful, absolutely delightful.
Daniel Kitson's an interesting choice.
Daniel Kitson, his newer stuff is quite wistful and nostalgic, and I love nostalgia. But his earlier stand-up was... sort of, it was him dissecting the bits of life that he either didn't agree with or didn't understand, and it was fascinating to watch. It was, yeah, you came out sort of feeling more alive than when you went in.
Some comedians are able to tap into that that bit within us that actually makes us think, not just laugh, but actually think, and it may not necessarily sit very comfortably sometimes, but it actually it at least challenges you on some level, and it stays with you for that reason.
Absolutely.
It's powerful.
It should give you pause for thought. Even if it's not in the middle of the routine, you should come out of it and not so much remember the exact words or sort of, you know, spit it back out around the water cooler the next day, but sort of hear them echoing as you look, you know, around the world that surrounds you.
And it's not as cliched as having a moral story or something.
No,
is
no,
it? It's just, not as simple as that.
I think it's tapping into just the basic core of the fact that we're all people, and there is, like it or not, or seek it out or choose to ignore it, there is a cord that joins everybody together. And
so why poetry is your avenue? Do you think that Like, why don't have you just? Would you try just doing stand up or
writing a book?
Stand up is frightening, and
but is it any more frightening than what you already do? That's
The stuff that I write doesn't so much have punchlines okay. as a lot of the comedy comes from how awkward it is and how far it's willing to go along a garden path that most people would normally not enter at all.
And it's able to be pushed that little bit further because of how you look. I mean, the fact that you are comfortable with acknowledging that and working it, I love that. It really tweaks my bits.
I suppose what's really interesting is that how contradiction is so important in capturing people's attention and also getting people to think about things in a different way.
And the juxtaposition is almost self-deprecating, except you're far too profound for it to be so.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
That's very sweet. Yeah, it is. The guy who's helping me out in my rehearsal right now is this incredible comedian called Matt Kelly, and he's really clever. And he'll stop me and go, no, you need to tease it out a little bit longer. You need to
hold them
hold
on the
them
edge
just
that little,
a little bit,
bit
longer, yep. And then you can
then wham
slam them.
Yeah,
in a nice way, always in a nice way.
And usually you've moved on before they've even realised it.
Yeah,
which is kind of quirky. You've received some rave reviews. Sydney Morning Herald said you are one of the top 10 comedy stars of tomorrow. The Age said a brilliant ode to
the ostracized,
hilarious, sharply observed and affectionate. First word that comes to mind starts with B and rhymes with what does rhyme with brilliant? That's from the pun. You are a poet of effervescing talent.
Oh,
you're
a
little bit like a mixer with vodka, apparently.
I'm a very good tonic water.
Indeed. And not that bloody diet stuff. I tell you what, diet tonic should be banned.
Can you do
frankly.
A poem on that?
No, I'm serious. Diet
Why
tonic
diet
should
will
be banned.
Kill you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's like drinking petrol.
But Tilio, you didn't. Did you study poetry?
No.
No, clearly. Were you good
otherwise, it would have been beaten out of me.
Just
would
born you, this way.
Were you good at English at school? Playing
yeah,
with words.
I loved English. It was one of my favourite subjects.
Yeah.
But I've always been a wordy person. I like words. I like long words. Every so often, I like looking through a dictionary, which is not as boring as it sounds. Really, it's not.
It's amazing what you might learn too.
It is.
I mean, I haven't done it clearly, but it apparently is amazing what you might learn.
My parents used to insult me using really long words so that I would use the dictionary.
I went to school with a girl that every day would come to school with a new word that was
so different.
And she would outdo the teachers every day. Hi, Belinda, if you're listening. Now, what's next for you? What is this gig at the Butterfly Club? It's coming up very shortly.
So this is my brand new show, brand spanking new show, called Live on Air with Poet Laureate Tilio Neville.
And is it a series of reads?
No, it's structured like a radio show.
Right, okay.
So a lot of the
not
poems...
Not like this one, though?
No.
No,
it's
clearly.
A little bit less classy.
I was going to say, it's
one.
More professional.
Thanks, Bianca. Yeah.
But it's got a, you know, a community notice board and a pet peeve section and a variety of poems, some of which have been either backed by music or structured in the same way that a music piece is structured.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a blues in there called First Date Fail, and there's a little bit of death metal for all the grinders out there in word for word land, should you actually exist.
When's your show's on?
So it opens December the 1st, which is a Thursday, and closes Sunday the 4th. So Thursday through Sunday, first week of December. Thursday through Saturday is at 9 o'clock, and Sunday is the traditional earlier show at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
It goes for roughly about 45, and it's in the gorgeous Butterfly Club in South Melbourne.
any closer and they'd be sitting on top of you.
And I have to ask, is there a theme to this show? Besides, is it just radio? Is that the theme or...?
The underlying theme is the... This is going to sound really schmaltzy. The refusal...
Why stop now?
Yeah. Have a little bit more cheese. It's about the refusal to compromise, even though you know that it's going to make life easier or it's going to smooth the way with other people, sticking to your guns. And
anything less is a cop-out.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
And the disaster that follows. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been lovely to meet you. And it's nice to be challenged on a number of levels. So I really do appreciate it.
I've never met a poet laureate before, so it's very exciting.
Tilly Neville has been with us today on Word for Word. You'll find a podcast and a transcript of this interview available for download from Joy's website, joy.org.au. If you would like to correspond with the program, please do so. Simply email wordforword@joy.org.au. Bianca Johnson, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you very much for joining us too. Till next time, keep well, take care, and bye for now.
Word for Word is produced by Robert Briley and presented by Dean Beck and Sue Wilkinson from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9. Word for Word is made possible thanks to funding provided by the Community Broadcasting Foundation and is distributed nationally to over 70 radio stations in the Community Radio Network.
Service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.